All right, it's 7 o'clock. Why don't we look to the Lord and start our study. Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness and your grace towards us. We thank you that you've knit our hearts together, that we would desire to have a hunger and thirst after you. We do thank you for our brother and his wife, and we pray that they would have a good time away. And we thank you that we've learned more about the character that pleases God in this dispensation, but also in the millennial kingdom, reign of Christ. And so, Father, we just pray that you would order our thoughts and our words, that they might be pleasing in your sight, and that you would reveal the hidden things of Scripture that only you can do, so that we could have an understanding and appreciation, a greater appreciation for who you are. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. And basically, you know, Brian's been doing a great job at showing us the character of those that will serve the Lord in the millennial kingdom. And that should reflect the character that we have right now as we follow the Lord. What we're going to do tonight is kind of look at the big picture of things that were, things that are, and things that are to come hereafter, as pertains to both Israel and the church. So we're going to read some scriptures and just listen. I want us to hold off any questions. I'll try to hold off questions, but I usually read and I will ask questions just so that you could think about it. But hold off questions about 20 minutes. And let the Holy Spirit show you through the illumination of the Scriptures some things. To understand the great timeline, God is infinite, He's timeless. Time, you know, is under His control. He's not bound by time. But to understand the whole timeline of God's dealing with man, you would have to know your Bible. So tonight we're not going to read the whole Bible, right? But we will go to places that are that you need to have a grasp on and understanding where you are in history and where the church will be in the future, where Israel will come back alive and be used by God, and how we will serve the Lord together in the millennial kingdom and there beyond. Okay? I will show you some highlights, read some passages in Revelation here, and then we're going to move, and I'm going to ask you guys to read some things, some from the Old Testament, some from the New Testament, okay? 7:30, somebody could hit me. I will hand you out a handout with everything that is on my notes. And we're not covering everything on my notes, but I will send it to you. I'll give it to you if you want an electronic copy as well. Just to help you. It's not exhaustive, but it will help you. So let's go to Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bore record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. You go over to verse 17, the latter part. Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Hey, Jesse. We're in Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read some scriptures. Go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were as a trumpet walking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. May God add the blessing to the reading of his word. Again, we're going to read some scriptures and then hold off on some questions. But I'm going to give you a little bit of a synopsis of the whole book of Revelation in the next couple minutes. Revelation 1 is John's vision of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ to his servants. And that word for servants is doulos, or bond slaves. A bond slave is one whose mind and will is caught up with the mind and will of the Lord Jesus Christ. So right away, if we have a blocker where we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or two, we have not turned our lives over to him via Romans 12, 1 and 2 and Hebrews 4, 12, then these things are going to be very difficult for us to hear and listen to, because this is written to the doulos, the bond slaves. Would you consider yourself a bond slave? To the seven churches in Asia, this emphasis is on the church throughout the church age. Chapters 2 and 3 speaks about the church, the instructions. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who, in his inspection ministry, is examining the churches throughout the ages, specifically in Asia, but we all could fit and fall into that individually and collectively as his church in any dispensation. I've had done messages on Revelation 1, 2, and 3 in 2009 through 2010. It should be out there. Angels are messengers of God and protectors of the Lord's church on earth. John predicted Christ's coming, chapter 1, verse 7. Let me take a look at there. And remember this. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. It was a sign of Christ's visible coming to earth. Israel will have their veil lifted off their eyes, and they will see Jesus, their true Messiah, though right now they are cast aside. This is not a reference to the rapture. You'll see that in Zechariah. But the rapture of the church will precede the tribulation, but the second coming of Christ will come at the end of the tribulation. Christ is God's messenger revealing to John things that are past, things that are, things that will be hereafter. The past, the present, and the future. So that's the panoramic view of Revelation. Now, I'm going to hand this out to you. I'm not going to go through all of this. It'll be here, but I'm not going to hand it out to you until after you can do some homework. So Revelation 2 and 3, God's examination of the church. Right now, he walks in the midst of the candlesticks. All right? True Christians, we read in verse 10 of chapter 3, true Christians that make up the church will be kept out of the tribulation. They will be kept out of the hour of temptation here on earth, or the hour of troubles. The end of the church period will be fulfilled at rapture, and we'll read about that tonight. Revelation 4 through 19, synchronize with Daniel's 70th year. We will go there after. Revelation 4 to 19, synchronize with Daniel's 70th week. Daniel's 70th week is a seven-year period that begins with the Antichrist confirming a covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week, scripture is 7 years in Daniel's prophecy. Revelation 4 through 19 is that time period. However, Revelation 4 and 5 is the scene in heaven. And we just read in chapter 4, verse 1, the vision of John, and John representing elders, but also representing the church, is called up. Come up here, and I will show you things hereafter. The scene in heaven is going to be the church and the angels in a nice worship service in chapters 4 and 5. While the scene on earth is going to be that of God's impending judgment, a great harvest of souls and a great cleansing of this earth of evil. It's also called Jacob's Troubles. And I did a message on that 2002. I have all the other chapters outlined for you, just some highlights, along with the four horsemen. The four horsemen, they're not Jesus Christ. Okay? It's the Antichrist in the times of the tribulation. Now, let's read some scriptures. Who would like to be the New Testament? Okay. Joyce, when we get there, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 10. Who else wants to be a New Testament reader? 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 58. Okay. Who would like to be an Old Testament reader? All right. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Zechariah 12, 10. Who else would like to read? Zechariah 12, 10. Okay, Peter, Zechariah 13, 1, 13, 6, and 7. Anyone else want to read? Okay, Pete, 14, 1 through 7, 14, 9, and 6. I'll remind you, I got it there. We will go to Daniel after, and we'll go to Revelation 19 after, and I will call on you. No, you'll have a chance to read. If you didn't, you felt you know, maybe embarrassed or, you know, your friends are here and you didn't want to raise your hand, you know, there'll be opportunity to read after. Again, we're thinking about the scriptures and we're listening to the Holy Spirit bring forth these scriptures. And let's start in the Old Testament. Could we do that? Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And it would be a good idea to go to each of these.
What are the, what's the in Revelation that we read tonight, Mike? Do you have that picked out yet?
We already read it.
Oh, okay.
Well, Revelation 1, we read 1 through 8, 17 and 18, 19.
So we're not doing anything else with Revelation tonight. I'm just asking.
We did 3:10 and 4:1.
Okay.
We're going to go to Revelation 19 at the end.
Okay.
Okay. And, by the way, I want you to find it in your Bibles, okay, because the Bible is the teacher. But I got this all written down for you, so you don't have to go nuts. But I don't want you paying attention to this, being distracted.
Right.
Okay.
You don't have your ruler tonight, do you?
You're going to have a little gift, too. But I got this.
Yeah, right. Use our knuckles.
So Isaiah 9, 6 and 7.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Wonderful. What I want you to think about is two Advents. In those two verses, we have two Advents. Other verses in Scripture in the Old Testament, we have two Advents. Actually, you want to read a verse? Okay. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. So we just read about an Advent is the coming of Christ. So there's two Advents, meaning there's two comings. The first Advent, he came as a baby born in Bethlehem as a suffering Messiah to die for our sins, right? And he lives within us who believe. Well, he's going to come again. And he's going to come again as that almighty king and ruler. The government will be upon his shoulder. And all those names, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, Counselor, he'll be recognized by them. Now, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3.
Okay. The Spirit of the Lord is God upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath set me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captive, and to open of the prison to them that are to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Awesome. Thank you. The two Advents, or the two comings of the Lord Jesus Christ, are in view. Did you see that? The day of grace and the day of vengeance. The day of grace, the day of vengeance. Where he's going to cleanse this earth and make a way to him for for every person from every tribe and nation and tongue. Okay? Two advents equals two comings. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Zechariah is one of the last books before Malachi, the Old Testament. Chapter 12, verse 10.
Zechariah 12, verse 10. Is that
where
we're starting now?
Yeah, we're going. Yeah.
Okay. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn.
Peter, 13:1.
In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness.
So, the Old Testament, who is it written to?
Jews.
Primarily Jews, right? Because they lived back then, and that was before Jesus came and died for our sins and set up the church at Pentecost. Okay? But it's also for us too, right? So the same spirit of grace is planned to be poured out on the Israelites who believe, who look upon whom they have pierced. That's what that verse says in chapter 12, the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn with a godly godly sorrow. They will someday realize in that time frame that they are responsible for the Lord's death. They will look upon him whom they pierced, and they will mourn. There'll be great mourning. But then there'll be great cleansing. And Pete read about the inhabitants of Jerusalem will come running to this cleansing fountain. Again, the house of David will be opened. And people will come to the saving knowledge of the Savior through Israel again. And it'll be a cleansing fountain for all. Verses 6 and 7.
And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, says the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones.
Wonderful. Who is he talking about? The visible return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will see, we will see the wounds from his friends. Those who turned him over. Those who crucified him. Jesus Christ will wear the wounds. There's only going to be one person that will have the scars in heaven because we're going to get new bodies. But Jesus is going to wear the wounds for all eternity. I think that's amazing, do you? Okay, chapter 14, 1 through 7. You able to do this, Pete? This is a lot of verses. 1 through 7, 9 and 16. Remembering the audience. Not us, but the...
First one. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of it towards the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azael. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Verse 9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. 16, it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles.
Wonderful. The visible return of the Lord in glory is coming back on the Mount of Olives. I said, when you're thinking about prophecy, think about two Advents and two mountains. It happens to be that the two mounts are the same. Okay? No questions. Two Advents, two comings of Christ, two mountains. We will talk about two resurrections, and we already talked about two scenes. Scenes. Okay? You went to the Wizard of Oz, right? That night? They had multiple scenes. Scenes on the stage. I'm sure there were scenes behind the scenes, right? Well, think about it that way. During the tribulation period, there's going to be a scene displayed on earth and a scene displayed in heaven. Okay? Two scenes. Brothers and sisters, that's playing out today, by the way. There's a scene going on in heaven that you don't see. Right? The invisible. And then you see the scene on earth. But to understand the revelation, you need to realize that there's going to be multiple groups of people. And God is showing John what's happening in heaven and what's happening here on earth. Okay? No questions yet. 1 Thessalonians. We're going to the New Testament. Thank you all for reading those. Those were fantastic. And you know what? I'm going to give you an extra couple verses. It's a couple more blessings if you're going to take them. Read verse 10 of chapter 1. No problem. Take your time. We got until 8 o'clock.
So 1 Thessalonians, verse 10. That's what we're starting with. Right?
I want you to read verse 10, and then I'm giving you a couple bonus points. Okay. I want you to read chapter 3, verse 13, and then the other chapter.
And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come.
All right. Those that are saved are delivered from the wrath to come. Okay, verse 13 of chapter 3.
But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope.
That's chapter 4. But that's your passage.
Verse 13 of chapter 3.
Yeah, you want to read that one? Chapter 3, verse 13?
I guess, sure. Okay. Chapter 13.
Yeah.
To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
Okay, so 1 Thessalonians, when we studied it, we went right into the pandemic. However, we were supposed to have Bible studies on it. And if you looked at and you heard the teachings, and they have them on recording because of brothers like Jesse, you will find out at the end of every chapter of 1 Thessalonians is the promise of deliverance and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for those that are his true church. Okay? Now you're going to read chapter 4, 13 through 18. Take a breath. No, Ricky, you're ready though, right?
Yeah.
When I'm ready to call on you, you're going to. Good. Thank you.
Okay, is this me or Rick?
No, that's you.
Okay.
I gave you a couple bonus points. You got half credit.
All right. So now you want me to read 13, 6, and 7.
Chapter 4, 13.
4, 13.
Through the end. Through the end.
4, 13. Right here.
You already read it.
13. I read that already. Okay. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Right? Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. That's 4:13.
Keep going.
16. Okay. Jesus, I thought you had the hard day. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. 16:2. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
Then?
17?
And 18.
Okay. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, with them, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Okay. This here is the rapture, okay? And this is part of one of two resurrections. I told you, two advents, two scenes, two mountains, and two resurrections. You need that to understand God's economy and plan. We're not going to go to your questions yet because we haven't got through all the scriptures. But this is the rapture where Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. And those that are already with him will come with him in the clouds, while those that are on earth will be raptured up into the clouds for that great meeting in the sky. Okay? That will start the beginning of the tribulation period. The church will be taken out. Christ, notice, doesn't hit the ground. Okay? So this is not where he sets up his millennial kingdom. This is where he brings the church up, judges them for their works at the throne of God in heaven, gives them rewards, and has a nice marriage supper according to Jewish traditions, 7 weeks, 7 years. Okay. Not until. Were you going to read? Read two verses for me.
Okay.
Chapter 5, 9, and 10. Yes.
For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you said which was
verse 10.
Oh, 10. Yep. Who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him.
Okay, good. Those that sleep will be all of us one day. We will be dead to this world, alive to God. It's like we're sleeping because we're now in his presence. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians. Okay? So thank you for reading those two. Joyce, did you want any more scriptures?
No, that's okay.
Okay, who had 1 Corinthians chapter 15?
Me.
Okay, Lisa. 1 through 51 through 58, or whenever you stop.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Excellent. So again, we have two groups of people at Christ's coming to take the church. Those that have already died, they'll be coming with him in the clouds. Those that remain or are alive will be raptured in a twinkling of an eye. Boom. You won't even have to wear your clothes. Okay? Now we have read both sides. I'm going to hand out, take some questions, but we're going to go to Daniel chapter 9.
Okay, it's the last page, it's on the back page. If you have to do that. Then go there. And if you want, you could cheat and look at the other stuff, but you're not going to get agree to.
So, sorry, Mike.
So we heard that, so for the next 10 minutes, what kind of questions that comes to your mind there? And I reserve the right to hold off until we look at Daniel chapter 9. I do have a gift for you, so for putting up with me, so don't worry about it. What things did you hear? No, oh, didn't get it.
What's the problem here?
Well, it's the last page that we're going to look at here.
Yeah.
But everything else, if you're mad at me, is up there.
Okay. I couldn't get mad at you, brother.
Sorry about that. If I had some servants that would get up and pass them out, I would have been okay.
I know I'm blind.
Sorry about that. Okay, so with those scriptures, just observe. What comes up? What? Did you read those scriptures before? Some of them were well known. What did you hear? Because that's the first step in Bible study, is when you're reading it, ask the Lord to show you some words or things that you need to observe. Then he will give you the meaning.
Go. He said in the rapture that the church will be taken up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold that right there. You're the next contestant on The Price is reading Revelation 19. Okay. Excellent. That's a breakthrough. Thank you very much. Hold that thought. You're going to read that. Okay. Actually, Peter read, did you read in Zechariah 14:5? Okay. He read a parallel to what you're going to read after in Revelation 19. Sorry. Okay. Anything else that you observed?
We made it clear to me before, but you said it too, that my understanding out of all that timeline is that there's things happening in heaven and things happening on earth at the same time. And I always had it where I thought it was all sequential, where one thing had to happen, then the other thing had to happen, but there were things that were going on at the same time.
Excellent. Prophecy is like that a lot of times. There's, you know, it has a near implication and a future implication. You know, the people in Israel could hear two mountains. They could hear two dispensations in a sense, but could not understand them. The day of grace and the next verse, the day of vengeance. But Jesus, when he was here in the synagogue, what did he do? He spoke about those things that he came to do, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. And he stopped saying anything about the day of vengeance. Why?
He wasn't here to do that.
He wasn't here to do that. He still has a friendly disposition in our day of grace. John 3:17, anybody know that one? For God came not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So when he came the first time, he came to die for the sins of the world, the sin of the world. But when he comes the next time, he will come to reign as king. The Jews always wanted, who's going to be our king? Are you going to reign today? The disciples are going to reign today? It's not for you to know the times or the seasons with the Father has placed in my hands. Good observation. Excellent observation. That's why they couldn't really see what we call the valley. The Old Testament saints had no understanding of the church. All they saw was Christ will come, that God would send the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, but then he'll set up his kingdom. I don't know how he's going to do that, but they never saw the valley or the church age. Okay? They didn't really see that they were the ones that would reject Christ and be cast aside for a short time. Okay? That will lead into Daniel chapter 9. More questions after? Yeah, go.
I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. Would you answer these questions? Is it sequential or is it happening in parallel?
It's happening in parallel. She gave you the answer.
Oh, thank you, Lisa.
So again, this is the thing. When we're talking about Revelation, the church is mentioned in the first three chapters and possibly chapter 4, verse 1, when he says, come up here. Just like the trumpet in 1 Corinthians says, in a twinkling of an eye, at the blowing of the trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise. You're out of here. That's the church. Those are the letters to the church. Okay? So they're in heaven. We're in heaven singing songs with the angels, getting our rewards, and partaking in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because why? The church is his bride. But time is still happening on earth. And now the question to you, Frank, who is that time for? Let's read Daniel chapter 9. Your last page in your handout has this stuff. And again, I want you to go home and I want you to think about it and assimilate it, okay? There's no silver bullets here. There's no shortcuts to Bible study. So let's, and we'll go through it, but let's read the scriptures and think about this, okay? Let's think about this. Verse 20 of chapter 9. My Bible says the 70 weeks of years. 70 weeks of years represent 70 times 7 in the Hebrew. 70 weeks of 7, 490, okay? That's where we're starting. Let's listen. Daniel is one of those captives, right? Those intelligent boys that were taken to Babylon, close to 70 years earlier and kept in captivity, right? And he, because God was working mighty through him, he was a high-ranking official under Nebuchadnezzar and the anarchy there, or the hierarchy there, right? Everybody knows Daniel. Well, now it's coming to the end of the 70 years, and he's going to ask, he's asking the Lord, he's praying to the Lord, what will happen to Israel after the captivity? You almost get the impression, when will you set up your kingdom? Right? Think about it. Let's read. And while I was speaking, this is Daniel, and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning of the 7 years, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come, listen to that, I am now come to give thee skill and understanding. In other words, the Holy Spirit has sent me to give you the answer you've been praying for. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. This is just great. Gabriel, his name means man of God. But Gabriel's an angel. And he was commanded by God to go to Daniel to give him this message for his people. Daniel's people. Who's Daniel's people? Who? Israel. Right? So this is a message to Daniel, answering Daniel's heart's question, what will happen to your people once they are freed from captivity? Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make a reconciliation for iniquity and to bring up everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision of the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. For he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, you're not going to get everything from that passage tonight. We said that in the beginning. Understanding this, you have to be a doulos. You have to be a bondslave whose mind and will is caught up in the mind and will of God. That means that there's no silver bullet or shortcut for you. However, because of your faithfulness and blessing, God will give you the outline of this passage. Okay? Take a look. You, when you heard that, you heard something stand out. Daniel, this is to your people. Cool. 70 weeks or 70 years are 70 weeks of years, meaning 70 times 7. Okay? take it up with the Hebrew dictionary. Okay? God wrote the book. That's the time frame. Now, what was the next big major thing in this passage just by looking at it? Think about capital letters. Think about persons in this passage. Is there not a Messiah in this passage? Is that Messiah in your Bible capitalized with an M?
Yes.
That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it say after his name?
Prince.
Huh? Prince. He's the prince, okay? And prince is what? Capitalized, right?
Yeah.
Then what does it say about the Messiah?
Cut off.
He will be cut off. What does that mean? What does that mean?
That's when he was crucified.
He will be crucified.
The end of the first advent.
Okay? Think about that. Now think about the two advents, and Lisa just said it made it easy for you and for me. The Messiah, who is the prince, who Frank read earlier, the Prince of Peace, is Jesus Christ, who was born a child, lived a perfect life, and died in our place and rose again. That's Jesus Christ, the Prince. God bless you. He's the Messiah. Messiah is Christ, the Anointed One. Okay? Messiah in the Old Testament, Christ in the New Testament. Same root. The Anointed One of God, who came to take away our sins. What will happen to him? He will be cut off, but not for himself. What does that mean, not for himself?
Yeah.
Did Jesus have any sin, John?
Not that I know of.
No. That's the only way he could pay for our sin, because he was sinless. See that? Just by observing that passage. Now, do you notice that there is another prince?
Yeah.
An imposter?
Yeah.
An antichrist. Okay? So again, you start seeing this, and you see what? You see that there is going to be a time where the Messiah will come to the earth, pay the price for your sin and mine, die on the cross, be buried, rise again, and then it goes right into the imposter, who will sacrifice and break a covenant in Jerusalem. And it seems like it's sequential, Frank, but it's not. Why? Look at the years. The years are this. And I'm not even going to read this, but you got this. But think about it. 70 weeks are determined to thy people, Daniel. To your people, 70 weeks of years. 490. However, he breaks it down to 7 weeks of years, which would be 49 years, from the command to rebuild the walls and the gates. I think I put a note about Nehemiah. You have to read the book of Nehemiah tonight before you go to bed. So, Nehemiah got permission to rebuild the walls and the gates after the captivity, went back to Jerusalem and found that it was all burnt to the ground. And now the enemies could attack, and he got permission to go back. That was about 445 B.C., okay? I have a napkin here that I wrote it down on someplace. You'll see that in your Bible dictionary as well. But you also follow that in the books of the captivities, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Okay? You still with me?
Yep.
Those 49 years would take you from 445 B.C., roughly, to about 3 or 4 No, it would take you to, I'm going ahead. It would take you to the end of the Old Testament scripture of Malachi. 77 weeks of years, 49 years. Okay? Then it says 62 weeks of years. How many is that? 434 plus 49 is 483. It's 434 years. So he's making a difference, brothers and sisters, that there's going to be, Daniel, the times of your people is going to come to an end. End of prophecy to your people. From the rebuilding of the commandment to rebuild the walls, to the end of Malachi, okay? Then he calls out 62 weeks, 434. How long was God silent?
400 years.
So there's a 400-year gap between Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, when John the Baptist is going to be the prophet. Actually, when God is going to speak to his dad and his mom, because he'll be in the womb. So 400 years of silence, that only counts for 400 of the 434. What does the 34 account for? Again, 7 plus 62 is how much? 69. Okay? At the end of 69, the Messiah gets cut off. So, we've already accounted for the end of the Old Testament prophecy, the 400 years of silence where God is not revealing anything that is preserved in the Scriptures, until John the Baptist comes on the scene, who is a cousin of who? Jesus. And now, how old was Jesus when he died?
34.
About 33, right? But how long does it take to make a baby?
9 months.
About 9 months? So about 34 years. 434 plus the 49 gives us what? Of years. It gives us 69 times 7 is 483 years. Where did the 70th year go? Or has it already happened?
It hasn't come yet.
And where would it go? When will it come?
At the end of the, after the rapture.
At the end of the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation, because that is the 70th week determined for Israel, Daniel's people.
So between the 69th and the 70th is the age of grace.
Church age, yep.
Church age.
Okay. So that all... Think about that before your next millennial study, okay? Because we haven't even talked about the millennium. Dad's going to read Revelation 19. Pete's going to read Zechariah 14:5. Revelation 19, you will see that there's singing in heaven over the judgment on earth. This is the... Remember I said that you don't hear from the church after chapter 4, verse 1, until chapter 19. Let's read that. Let's see where we are. Verse 7 through 16. Verse 17 and on is the Battle of Armageddon, by the way. And that's going to usher in the millennium.
Glad to rejoice and give him glory. For a marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. and to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness act of our saint. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head was many crowns. He had names written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in the heavens, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he had no his robe, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Awesome. Pete, a parallel verse, 14:5 on Zechariah. Is that, did I get the right verse?
And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto a vale. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee.
Okay. The Lord shall come, and all the saints with thee. So, at the end of, in chapter 19, the scene is in heaven. The church is receiving their rewards, the wedding supper. That's happening in heaven. But then, the Lord is coming back on the white horse. This is the Lord. And he's coming back with the redeemed. Verse 14, the armies which were in heaven, the armies that were in heaven, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That is the righteousness of the saints. Christ is coming back to reign with us. And that begins, well, the next 30 to 75 days. There's a cleanup on aisle 7. You'll see it in your notes, where there'll be a battle of Armageddon with all the nations and Satan, and then he'll be chained up, and then the new the millennial period starts then. So that's where you are in your Bible study. You have this in your third, depending on which one you have. The second to the last page gives you that outline of chapter 19. Your homework this week is to look at that, along with the last page, the 70 weeks of years. And see if you see anything different than we talked about today. You covered several dispensations in just over an hour. I got some of these that are brand new, but this is what is called a chart of the course from eternity to eternity. And you'll see two mountains, you'll see a cross, you'll see the present church age, you'll see the rapture, you'll see the tribulation. You'll see all hell breaking loose on tribulation. Then you'll see New Jerusalem. You'll see the millennial kingdom. And then you will see the new heavens and the new earth. This is a bird's eye view of your whole Bible. And because you were so good, you all get a copy. Okay? Okay. All right, so we'll close in prayer and we'll give you this. Okay? Thanks for being a good audience. Anyone want to close in prayer? Anybody want to come back next week?
Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for the time we're able to have to come together as saints and just open your word. And Lord, as we read about all these things, Lord, I just am overwhelmed that we have that victory in you, that one day this will all come to pass and we'll see you for as you are, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. So Lord, we're so grateful that we get to be a part of it now. I pray that you would continue to help us use our gifts, use our talents to reach more and more people who need you. So Lord, I thank you for each one who has come out. I pray that you would continue to speak clearly to them. I pray for us as well as we present the word, that we would have that clarity as well to know the words to speak, and that we would continue to look to you for our guidance. So Lord, we love you and we thank you. Continue to put that blessing on us, that we may be a blessing to others. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen. Thank you.